Hi, I'm Dr. Wambui, and welcome to the Drug Chat. I think that the human body is intricately created, making us one of the most amazing living things on earth. In this podcast, we explore how the body works and then apply the drugs. My hope is that with this knowledge, we become better healthcare providers, whatever field of medicine you may be in, better caregivers to our patients or to ourselves. We do take medicines from time to time, don't we? All right, let's break it down. Hey, 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 my podcast friends. Hope you guys are doing well and ready for the next antiplatelets. Today we'll be talking about the glycoprotein platelet inhibitors. Glycoprotein platelet inhibitors. Before we get into them, let's find out what these platelets are doing. So on a normal working day, for platelets to form a good plug, a few things need to happen: adhesion, activation, and secretion and aggregation. So you have a bleed, a vessel is broken, you're bleeding, and the fast people that get to the scene to be able to plug up that hole are platelets. And what the platelets do is that they stick together, you know, the adhesion part, platelets stick to the torn wall. Then after that, obviously there are processes that go on so that they can get activated. And after the platelets, remember they stuck together in adhesion where their tear is. When they do that sticking together and to the torn wall, well, they go through a sci-fi kind of thing where they change shape from a smooth disc to a ball shape that has long arms. And the long arms are for reaching out to other platelets, tapping them on the shoulders and saying, hey, guys, we've got a problem. You got to come and help. And the secretion part is that they are chemicals inside the platelets that are pushed out and they go into the bloodstream and to go and call all the other platelets and telling them, we've got a problem in aisle 6, come and help us fix it. Told you it was very sci-fi. So then this sending out of signals and calling others to come and help is what brings it all together, and they all aggregate, which basically means all these platelets showed up for duty and they form a platelet plug, okay? Which is the first thing they're trying to do is to put a plug before the more serious ways of clotting begin, all right? So that's what's happening on a normal working day. Should you have a bleed, you can imagine with a small cut from a knife and yet all that stuff is going on in your body and you have no idea. All you're thinking is, oh my goodness, I'm bleeding, or it's painful, or whatever it may be. All right. Okay. So now enter the glycoproteins. Well, before the glycoproteins enter, you have a disease state, right? And in this disease state that you have, we need to be able to slow down the clotting in your blood. That's why I'm putting on the glycoprotein to begin with, this drug to begin with. I'm trying to make sure that platelets don't do that thing of adhesion, activation, secretion, aggregation. We don't want them to form the clot, right? It may be because of stroke. It may be because you had a heart attack and so you're more prone to this. It may be because you get the venous thromboembolism. You know, there are different reasons why maybe we do not want clots forming in your body, correct? So this beautiful people that we call scientists and discoverers that always amaze me. By now, you know how in awe I am of them. Somehow, they figured that in this whole platelet thing, there are these things called glycoproteins, all right? And they need to be inhibited. And when they're inhibited, a clot won't form. I tell you, these guys are amazing. So glycoproteins are a class of proteins that have carbohydrate groups attached to them. Thus, the glyco for the carbohydrate, protein. See, at least they made that part easy. So In your body, these glycoproteins have many functions. So you will not find them only in platelets. You'll find them in various places. For example, the glycoproteins that are found on red blood cells, they determine the blood group type you're on. So if I am blood group B and you are O positive or whichever other blood group, the glycoproteins that are on your red blood cells are what determines what I keep telling you, this body of ours is amazing. Okay? So now bring it back to our beloved platelets. They too have glycoproteins and they act as receptors with two important actions. So the glycoproteins on the platelets, they have two jobs, just two things. The important actions are adhesion and aggregation. So they are involved in the platelets sticking together and sticking on the torn wall. They are involved in all the things that need to happen so that they can aggregate. So just keep in mind that this amazing bodies of ours, in the intricate way in how it gets stuff done. So in this case, the platelets need to be switched on to form the plug. Remember, as much as I am saying adhesion, activation, secretion, and aggregation, there's so much going on, such an intricate web and domino things that are going on to make sure that this actually happens, that people are called for duty and they come in and they do that. So part of the work in this plug being formed or trying to stop it from happening is obviously the platelet needs to be switched on, switching on for work or alerting the other places to show up for duty. And receptors on the platelets are the ones that interact with these glycoproteins. So they bind, they attach, and in so doing, they send the messages to the platelet, right? Because remember, here is a receptor on the platelet. Glycoprotein figures out through another whole mechanism there, right? Figures out that this platelet needs to be activated, or, you know, and so the glycoprotein hooks up with a receptor that belongs to it on the platelet. Once these two come together in the lock and key thing, once these two come together, the platelet and the glycoprotein, then there's another whole series of stuff that happens that obviously the message that goes to the platelet is, hey, we are needed. There's a hole that needs to be filled and we're the ones that are showing up. Can we get our act together? All right. So the drugs that so of course, if I block this receptor, if I block this glycoprotein receptor on the platelet and make sure that the glycoprotein and the platelet do not get together, then the platelet does not get switched on. If the platelet doesn't get switched on, then no clot will be formed, right? So, of course, these beautiful people of ours came up with the drugs that are glycoprotein platelet inhibitors. So they are, and the reason why I'm sure that they was specific to say platelet is because, like I said, you'll find glycoproteins in so many other areas in your body. So this drug specifically block the glycoproteins that have to do with the platelet. And there are three drugs in this class, and they are all available as intravenous agents. So they are given via injection. The first one is Abciximab, and since you hear me say mab, you know that's a monoclonal antibody, right? So our immune system is involved in that. The second one is Eftifibatide, and the last one is Tirofiban. I know they really don't make it easy for us to say this word, but if you say it slowly, well, you'll be able to say it. Abciximab, Eftifibatide, and Tirofiban. So like I said, these drugs all work to block the receptors on the platelet, and in turn, no aggregation happens, and in turn, no clot is formed. So with abciximab, so they all have short half-lives. For example, the abciximab approximately has the half-life is about 30 minutes. And this is important how clinically. This allows us to use it
as a short-term platelet aggregation inhibitor. We want something that's going to be happening quick, short-term. You know, it does, it works, and it's out of the body, all right? This is where you come. And the kind of patient that you're hoping to use this on, that is something that is going to be short-term, that's going to inhibit this platelets aggregating short-term, is, for example, your patient is going to the cath lab for a PCI, so then you can use this short-term platelet aggregator. The ftifibatide has a half-life of about 2.5 hours, and its onset of action is 1 hour. And onset of action is about an hour. Then, so the abciximab is excreted via urinary system. So I want to tell you a fun fact about this protein, the abciximab. The protein used to make it is found in a pygmy rattlesnake. So I hope what you're hearing me say is be nice to the snakes. They're actually useful, you know. This protein comes from the rattlesnake. Anyway, I digress. All right. So then there's a tyrosinase, which has a half-life of about 2 hours, duration of action of about 4 hours, and it's excreted via the urine and the feces. And as you can see, with all these excretions that are urine, for those with moderate to severe renal insufficiency, you will see that they have a decreased plasma clearance, and so they have a reduced dose. So for these drugs, should you have a patient that has moderate to severe renal insufficiency, please check the dosage part, because their dosage is reduced depending on what the patient's clearance is. However, the tyrosinase is contraindicated with renal failure. All right. So as a class, they are indicated. You see them indicated mostly for acute coronary syndromes. Like I said, with that short half-life, then I want to be able to use it for short-term things, like if I'm taking a patient into the cath lab, may it be unstable angina or a heart attack that needs the percutaneous coronary intervention, which is that PCI, all right? So that's where you'll see it mostly used in. Now, the most common adverse effects. I am sure you know I'm going to say the word bleed, okay? So as a class, bleeding is a big deal, obviously, because guess what we're doing? We're making sure that the blood cannot clot. So bleeding is a big thing. So check out for hypertension and bradycardia. And another one, big one to look for besides bleeding, is thrombocytopenia, which is a fancy way of saying decreased platelet count. So monitor that. You know, that's a lab that you can get, okay? Which you can see it in your complete blood count, the lab that you can get for it. But obviously, if a patient comes in and they already have a major bleed in their brain or their lungs, you don't want to be using this, right? And like I said, these drugs are intravenous. So I would expect that. Check out for injection site pain, okay? But then the big one, like I said, is bleeding. So if somebody has significant, let's say, GI bleed or internal bleeding, then they do not need to be on this drug. Thrombocytopenia is another one to look out for. Again, that's just fancy way of saying check, make sure the platelets are not decreased. They're not too decreased. All right. So those are the glycoprotein platelet inhibitors. I think we only have just one more in the antiplatelets arena. Then we'll be done. But remember the three drugs that are there, unless there's another one that came out that I haven't seen, right, are abciximabs, I keep saying that, right? Ftifibatide and tyrosinase. All right, so we'll see you soon for the next one. Keep at it. Bye.
I am Dr. Wambui, and thanks for listening to this episode of The Drug Chat. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And remember to share with your friends. Until next time, stay inquisitive. Bye.